As we continue moving on through Mark, and we finish the last part of Mark chapter 10 today, and looking at blind Bartimaeus. Let's read it together, and then we will start in there in verse 46, and then we will pray and look at it more closely. Notice it says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, rather with a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me.' And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you.' And throwing aside his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road." Blind Bartimaeus. Guys, today we look at blind faith. Blind Bartimaeus, blind faith. Now again, we often hear the term blind faith and think someone foolishly believing something that has no evidence or any merit. Well, that is not true when it comes to the Lord. It may be blind faith if you have no idea what's going to happen in the market and you take a step in some kind of investment. But it's not blind faith when it comes to Christ. When it comes to Jesus, he's proven. He's been proven for since mankind has begun. His word has been proven. We stand on solid rock and a solid ground when we stand with the Lord. And so, again, this is not blind faith when it comes to the Lord. But again, a lot of people believe that it is blind faith when we believe in the Lord. And we're going to see Bartimaeus taking a step of faith, believing that Jesus would hear him, that Jesus would touch him, and that Jesus would heal him. And that's exactly what the Lord does. And there's going to be some of you he's going to challenge to take a step of faith in as well. Remember the definition of faith according to Hebrews 11:1. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That is, when it comes to true faith in the Lord, there's substance and there's evidence. And again, in Christ, we have the substance and we have the evidence because of his life. And Bartimaeus knew the substance. He knew the evidence because of Jesus' life. And so we're going to see him taking that step of faith and crying out to the Lord today. Again, although Bartimaeus was physically blind, as we said at the beginning, he could see spiritually great. You know, a lot of times God has to bring things into our life to give us that spiritual eyesight. And who knows, maybe Bartimaeus absolutely was given physical blindness so that he could gain spiritual sight. It's interesting in the language here, it indicates that Bartimaeus regained his sight when the Lord touched him, which would indicate that at some point he could see, lost his sight, and then regained it. Again, it was very common in that day with different diseases for people to lose their eyesight. So it may very well be that Bartimaeus was able to see, then blind, then able to see again. And that's interesting because, again, a lot of times I believe that God allows certain instances in our lives to open our eyes to the Spirit again. And maybe we've grown a little bit dull in our eyesight this morning spiritually. Let God work in it. Let him refresh you. Let him revive you so you have a brand new vision. You know, it's interesting when you think about the importance of eyesight, and sometimes when it's not really as important, actually better in one case that they didn't have any. I was reading an article this past week about in New York City in 1959, one of the hottest days in August, there was a power failure. It was shut off everything, all the fans, all the air conditioners, all the electricity, everything suddenly, boom, went off. And we're talking about, you ever been somewhere when the lights go off, it is totally dark. And there are all these, you know, skyscrapers and all these buildings in New York City. Everything goes off and just shuts down. It gets quiet. And everybody in the office is just kind of standing there wondering who's going to say something first and what are we going to do? That was the episode here. And again, it said particularly hard hit were workers on the upper floors of many of the buildings. I mean, they had a long way to come. And the elevators weren't working and they couldn't see anything. And very few people carry a flashlight with them. And so again, they were pretty much for the most part stuck. But it's interesting, they said those in the street saw that there was one particular building where everyone came out rather rapidly, and they were the first ones out of all the buildings that were empty. And what building was that? Well, it was the Guild of the Jewish Blind. And the 200 workers, who knew every inch of the building by heart, led the 70 other helpless sighted workers down the steps into Broadway, and they were out there able to see in no time, and everybody else is stuck in their buildings. Now, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? And yet it gives a real picture of, in their blindness, they were able to lead others and see, and in Bartimaeus' physical blindness, he was able to be a testimony and a witness to many that were around the Lord that didn't even know who he was. Now, we're going to see that he cries out and says, "Son of David," which was, by the way, a messianic term. He was calling him the Messiah. Many people in that day didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. It hadn't been revealed yet. Jesus had kept that secret to many. And there were many that believed he was just a great prophet and maybe just an important man, kind of like today. But the bottom line is, those who had spiritual eyesight were able to see, this is the Son of David. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. And because Bartimaeus was able to see that, he was able to cry it out and able to lead others to Jesus as well. Now, what was the setting? Well, the setting was Passover. Passover was one of the three main feasts that the children of Israel were required to come to. There was Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were divided up. One began in the first month of their year. One began in the middle of a seven-month period. And then the other ended in the seventh month of that same year of their religious calendar. And you were required to come. If you were within 15 miles and you were a male, you were required by law to be at Jerusalem for all these feasts. Unless, of course, there was some death illness that you couldn't get there. Now, if you were between 15 miles and 25 miles, you were still strongly encouraged to be there. If you were beyond 25 miles, they still wanted you to be there, but if you couldn't make it, they understood. But there was a great pressure, if you will, to be there at the Passover and all the feasts, and so it was packed. The cities were packed. The roads were packed on the way. Try to imagine the crowds. As a matter of fact, Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, says that there was about over 2 million people in Jerusalem every Passover. And of course, there wouldn't be enough places for everyone to stay, so they would camp out on the hillside. Wouldn't that be great to have some big national feast in the name of the Lord, where so many people got there that, yeah, now some of you are saying it wouldn't be great if I didn't have a hotel. I'd want a hotel, right? But even if it was nice in the summer, like Passover was, or the spring, and you know, those of you guys that like to camp, we just let all you guys do that. And then everybody else that wants the hotel, I like to camp, actually, I'm kidding. But you could go and camp and then have the campfires. That's what it was like. It was a huge outdoor camp with tents everywhere. All the RVs parked. I don't know what the RV would have been then, but you get the point. And then everybody going to Jerusalem. So it was packed, and it was a very festive environment, very festive atmosphere where this was happening. Now, the city they were coming into, the city of Jericho, was even a little bit more of a religious community, if you will, because it was known as the city of priests. And that is, when the priests weren't serving in the temple because there were too many of them to serve all the time together, they lived, many of them, down in Jericho. So Jericho was the city of priests. Whenever the feasts were there, it was even a greater religious festival down there in Jericho. And so the Lord is now coming into Jericho with this great festivity, all these things happening. If you remember, one of the other Gospels tells us that this is when he met with Zacchaeus. On the day before he came in, he's there with Zacchaeus, and he goes to Zacchaeus' place. Now he leaves Zacchaeus' place, and he's traveling on up to Jerusalem on his mission from the Lord to go and die for the sins of the world. This is where we run into Bartimaeus. Let's jump into it. Notice verse 46. It says, now when they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now, he speaks of blind Bartimaeus as though blind Bartimaeus was well known. No doubt he probably was, because this was no ordinary beggar. We have beggars today. We understand what that's like. We have the guys, we'll work for food sign and this kind of thing on the corner. This is not what the blind people were back then. They did have their we'll work for food type beggars, if you will, but the blind were different. The blind couldn't work at all. There were typically no jobs that a blind person could do in that culture or society. They looked down on them. They said, if you're blind, probably it's because of some sin that's in your life. So they had this stigma in their life, and as well as a stigma in their eye. And so either way, they couldn't do much when it came to being blind. But they were able to legally, if you will, beg. And so they would sit by the road and they would beg. Everyone would have known Bartimaeus. They would have recognized him as the beggar there in Jericho. And so he's there begging by the side of the road. And you know, it's interesting because if we look at the whole story of Bartimaeus, and that the Holy Spirit really uses this to paint a picture of who we are and what we need to do if we're going to draw near to the Lord. But the first thing you need to notice here about Bartimaeus is that he was a beggar. And guys, I think that until we come to the place that we know that we're a beggar, we're never going to be able to receive from Christ what he wants to do in our life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm not a beggar with the we'll work for food sign, so to speak. But maybe we'll pray for the Spirit or something like that. I don't know what we would carry. But we need to be beggars unto the Lord. That is to realize the Bible says we can do nothing on our own. And we can do nothing apart from the Lord. And I don't know about you guys, but I used to think I could. I think there's some things I can do, and I can do this, and I can do that. And then the more I've gone on in the Lord, I begin to realize, no, Mark, there is nothing that you can do but mess things up. The only thing that can be done that's positive in your life is to realize you are a beggar and you're in total dependence and need on the Lord. And so the first thing we see in this whole trek, really, and the Holy Spirit really gives us a picture of what it takes to get from where we are to where Jesus wants us to be, from blind to having sight, so to speak. The first thing is to realize that we're a beggar and to understand that we can't do it on our own. Now, this is hard in a wealthy nation. Not as wealthy as it used to be, but very wealthy compared to the rest of the world. And that is, we don't think we need anything. Why do I need God? I'm doing fine. I think one of the hardest things to do is convince certain people they need a Savior. Why do I need a Savior? I'm doing great. I have a great job. My life's fine. I'm a pretty good person. We have to learn we're beggars. And that's the first thing Bartimaeus knew, is that he was a beggar. That's well established. And so he's here by the side of the road begging for money. Now, again, it's interesting here. The wording is, it says Jesus came into Jericho. It's in what's called the historical present, which literally means it's written in such a way as if this is still happening. In other words, Jesus is still riding into Jericho, would probably be a more literal translation, or coming into Jericho. As Jesus is coming into Jericho would probably be a more literal translation of this. And why is that important? Because again, in this whole passage, we see the Holy Spirit painting a picture of what it takes for the blind to come to Jesus Christ. And one of the first things we have to realize is not only that we're beggars, but the next thing to realize is that the Lord is here to receive us if we cry out to Him. The Lord, even as He was coming into Jericho in that day, is here this morning, right now. If you are looking for the Lord, you need look no farther. He's right here in our presence. In power and spirit, the Lord is here. And so again, very literally, we're going to see that Bartimaeus knew that. But we need to understand as well, the Lord is still doing the same things today that He did back then. And you know, it's going to be interesting. We're going to see Him heal the blindness of Bartimaeus. And if you're like me, some of you think, Lord, why don't you do the things today you did back in the Old Testament or back in the days of the New Testament? And you did all these miracles. And I used to look at the book of Acts and think, wow, miracle after miracle after miracle. God, do that. I'd love to see some miracles. And I have seen miracles in my own life and in many others' lives over the years. But it wasn't until later on I realized the book of Acts covers about 30 years. And so when we look at the book of Acts, and yes, we want to be like that, we have to remember that God's not doing miracle after miracle every time we turn around that we see. He's doing them in different places around the world. But God is still the same God. And the same God that touched Bartimaeus can touch you this morning. And so if you cry out, He will do that, especially if you understand your need before Him. Coming into this, also interesting to me, Jericho was known as the City of Palms. It's a very beautiful city. Even today, when you come down from the desert, from Jerusalem down toward Jericho, or coming from the Galilee down to the Jericho area, all of a sudden you come to this little oasis-looking area. It's green. And there are even palm trees there today. So it was known as the City of Palms. There are palms there today. And it was also known in this day as a place of great fragrance. Because, of course, you had all the flowers and all the different things that were blooming because it had a good water source coming down from the rains that came out of the upper desert there, as well as the springs that came up there in Jericho and still come up today. And so it's interesting to me in this picture that God is giving that in this place of beauty and fragrance, you have this blind man who knows his need and now needs to get to Jesus. See, guys, I don't think we realize what beauty and fragrance is around us in Christ. And as long as we are blinded to the beauty and fragrance that is around us, we don't even see it. How do you explain the colors of beautiful flowers and trees and all this and fruit and all that to someone who's blind? You try, but you can't do it. And now this man's going to have his eyes open and begin to not only smell the fragrance, but see the beauty that's around him. And again, there may be some of you this morning that God's going to open your eyes for the first time, and you're going to see that beauty and that fragrance as well. I remember when I first came to the Lord, it was like there was this blinder that was removed, not only spiritually, but maybe some of you guys had this same experience. Maybe I was just so messed up and dulled in my senses that I didn't really grasp it until God began to clean my life out. But it seemed like for the first time, I could smell flowers and I could smell literally coffee. They say, smell the coffee. I mean, I smelled things and all these fragrances and these new and colors and noticing the sky, and everything was alive. And nothing had changed other than God had just brought me from darkness to light. And so oftentimes we're surrounded by all this fragrance and this beauty. We're surrounded by a city of palms, a city of beautiful fragrance. The Lord this morning, right here in our presence, but we're missing it because we're blinded. And so Bartimaeus now again is here, he's in place, and he's begging by the road. And notice when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And notice the word mercy there, and the other word, the word me. I believe he wanted mercy, but I wonder if Bartimaeus didn't emphasize that. You see, I find this interesting that typically blind beggars, they lived where they lived. You didn't take a circuit as a blind beggar. I'm going to beg this week in Jericho. I'll go to Jerusalem next week, work my way up to whatever. No, that's where he lived. That's where he begged. And yet this was not the first time Jesus had come through his town. Guys, the Lord had been through here numerous times. The feasts alone, the Lord was required to come to every feast. He would pass through for 3 years, every Passover, every Pentecost, you know, every tabernacle. We know that the Lord went up for Hanukkah as well. He went up for that celebration, so he went up even more. And so the Lord would go that way, and he would come back that way. And when the Lord came, there were crowds around him. Bartimaeus, no doubt, had the same area, at least that he begged on a regular basis. Why didn't he ever cry out to the Lord before? See, I find this interesting, because I believe what we see here is, for the first time, Bartimaeus is getting it. He's been begging all these years. He's been blind all these years. Jesus has been right in front of his eyes, passing right in front of him on a regular basis. And for the first time, he realizes, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a beggar. He's the Lord. He has all the resources, all the power. I've heard about other blind people that can see. I've heard about other people that have been raised to the dead and can walk. Why not me? And for the first time, he begins to cry out to the Lord. Guys, there may be some of you like that here this morning. You've been coming to church for years. Jesus has been passing by, and you're like, you know, I don't know, I don't need that. I'll come, it's a thing to do, it's nice, be religious, go to church, hang out, you know, whatever, cute girls, cute guys, you name it, whatever, this kind of thing, whatever the reason might be, right? And yet now, for the first time this morning, you realize, you know what, I'm in great need here. I need the Lord, and I need a touch from the Lord. And what's exciting is, again, the language here, again, we talked about the historical present, as in the Lord coming through, it means he's still coming through now, right now. Although he's passed by many other times in your conscience, in your mind of the Spirit, he's passing by again saying, cry out to me. I want to touch you. I want to do a new work in your life. I want to do something that's never been done before. In this, there's a fragrance around you that you're missing. There's a beauty all around you that you don't see. And I want to work in your life. Bartimaeus now, I think for the first time recognizing this, he hears the crowds. No doubt he'd heard them before. But this time, what does he do? He decides, I'm going to cry out. Now, again, on behalf of Bartimaeus, let me say that it was kind of a, you were downcast and seen as lesser in the society as a blind person in that day. So maybe Bartimaeus was a little bit afraid to draw attention to himself with such an important man as Jesus. I don't know. But guys, I can tell you this. I know that when I'm desperate, I don't care who's around. I'm going to get to who I need to get to. I can remember, again, just an episode, and I've shared this with you guys in the past, when in the hospital room, you know, and a situation where, you know, Tracy was about to die with our first child. It was a very, you know, this whole toxemia thing or whatever, and she goes into convulsions, and I just, again, I didn't know how bad it was even till later. But the bottom line is, I didn't really care who was there. I didn't care what doctor or nurse. I was glad that there was an anesthesiologist in the room. The nurses were pretty much useless. They freaked out so bad. They were dropping everything and throwing things everywhere, and it was just kind of this crazy scene. But you know who I began to cry out to at that moment? Guys, desperation makes you go to the source. And when I was desperate, I began crying out, Jesus. I was crying out the name of Jesus. That's all I was crying out, just for Jesus. And he touched her and he stopped the convulsions and she came out of it. Whole story going with that. But the bottom line is, this is where Bartimaeus was. He realized, I have a need here. Man can't help me. The best doctor in the world can't help me. The best situation, the greatest counsel in the world can't help me. I need Jesus. And until we come to that place, we're never going to cry out with the desperation we need to get a touch from him. It's not that he wants us to grovel, but he wants us to be broken and cry out with all of our heart. Some of you are there this morning. Some of you are not there, but you're going to remember this later so that when you are there, you're going to say, you know what? I need to cry out to Jesus now. Bartimaeus was there. And he was crying out to the Lord. And again, it's interesting. Why did he cry out? Because he knew the Lord could hear him. He knew the Lord was near. Guys, some people don't cry out because they think the Lord can't hear them. He hears you this morning. If you simply cry out to the Lord, he will hear you. And he will answer. It will not always be the way we want him to, but he'll do it. And again, just because you can't physically see him, Bartimaeus couldn't physically see him either. But Bartimaeus knew he was there. And he began to cry out to him. And it's not just the fact that he cried out. As we mentioned earlier, it's what he cried out. Notice he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus may have been blind, but he saw a lot better than many people in that crowd. And that is, as we mentioned earlier, Son of David was specifically a term for the Messiah. Modern day language, Messiah, have mercy on me. Again, people didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah at this point. His own believers didn't recognize him, his own followers, until later on that he was the Messiah. And remember Peter, he said, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. He said, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but your Father did. You see it now. You get it. And yet Bartimaeus, in his blind state physically, recognized this spiritually, and probably because he had a lot of time to think about it, especially the other years the Lord had traveled through and he hadn't responded. And then he hears all the stories and recognizes it and says, you know what? He is the Son of David. This guy is the Messiah. He's giving other people sight. He can do it for me too. And you've heard maybe stories about the Lord and what he's done for other people. He can do it for you too. You're no different. It's not like somehow he can reach to other people and now he won't work in your life. And sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? We see him working in other people's lives and we think, Lord, why aren't you working in my life? He is working in our lives, but he does different things at different times in different seasons. And now he's going to be working in a great way in Bartimaeus. So he sees this and he cries out by faith. And again, not blind faith, as we said, but faith full of assurance, because he knows who Jesus is. He's seen the evidence. He's seen the substance. He knows what the Lord can do, and so he cries out to the Lord, and now we're going to see that he gets his answer. Have mercy on me. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love this. You ever had somebody tell you to stop with that Jesus stuff? I'm not saying you need to be rude. I'm saying if you're somewhere and people say, look, we don't want to hear that. The Bible says, don't throw pearls to swine. So you don't want to be obnoxious. That's not my point. But guys, there may be people in your life, if you've got a situation right now, you've got someone who's very sick, or your marriage is barely making it, or your life is falling apart in some form and fashion, and you begin to cry out to the Lord, you'll have someone that'll smile and pat you on the back and say, now that's good, but you need to go to your support group. Because they don't believe in the power of God. They believe that man has to be the one that does it. But the Bible says, blessed is the one who doesn't put his trust in man, but he puts his trust in God. And that's more than ever when we need to cry out and say, I need Jesus. It's only going to be Jesus that can help me, and I'm not going to stop until I get to him. Boy, you've probably heard me share this numerous times, but I love it when Jacob's wrestling there with the Lord at the Ford Jabbok. And what that must have been like, Jacob wrestling with the Lord. I can't imagine, the Lord's got him in a headlock or something. I try to picture what that would be like, Talk about a bionic elbow, right? The bottom line is you couldn't beat him. And I love it at the end when finally the Lord touched him, and you know the story, he touched him, he shrunk the muscle there in his hip and literally changed Jacob's walk. But not only physically, he changed his walk forever after that point. But Jacob grabbed onto his robe. He grabbed on. And he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. That's the place of desperation Bartimaeus was at. And guys, when we find ourselves in a place of desperation like that, and you may be there this morning, God hears you. Not that you have to be that desperate for God to hear you, but when you're that desperate, God will move in a great way in your life. And again, here, Bartimaeus is in that place of being desperate. And I love it because they say, stop crying out to the Lord, be quiet, this kind of thing. And I love it. He cried out all the more. When you've got to get to the Lord, when you've got a need, nothing can stop you from getting to that need taken care of. It's interesting. You'll see these moms sometimes. You'll see a mom maybe or something like that, and they've lost a child. And the police will be there, and they'll be looking for the child. They'll say, everybody stay back beyond this line, or just whatever. The moms, they don't listen to them. You ever notice that? The police don't matter. They're not there. They are blind looking for their child, going everywhere. They're going to find their child. This is, I don't care what the rules are, what anybody says, I'm going to do what has to be done to get what has to be done. That's the desperation that Bartimaeus was in. And again, it's a great place to be. Although it's not fun, it is a great place to be because God hears us. And we cry out all the more. I encourage you, if you're in that place of desperation this morning, don't stop crying out. Cry out all the more. But Mark, he hasn't answered me yet. I haven't heard the Lord. He's not moving the way I thought he was going to move. Don't stop crying out. God loves you. God cares. And God's going to move in his timing. And we don't know when that is, but we have to trust him. I hate to wait. But the Lord makes us wait. Verse 49. So Jesus, I love this, guys. Note this. So Jesus stood still. You can almost put a period there. Guys, what is it that makes Jesus stand still? When hearts of desperation cry out with all their heart, I need you. You want to make the Lord stand still? As one man said it, you want to make the Son stand still? Then cry out. Cry out with all your heart. He will stand still and he will listen. And now we notice the Lord stands still. He commanded him to come and he called him. And they called the blind man saying, be of good cheer, rise. He's calling you. And I imagine his heart just leaped out of his chest here when he said the Lord was calling him. The thing that made him stand still was the fact that he heard someone crying out with a true heart, a broken heart. And again, the language here is written in the historical present, which means the Lord still hears those who are crying out and he still calls them to himself. Which means this morning, if you cry out, the Lord is going to be calling you to him. You really want me? You really want me to touch your life? I'm going to do it. I still do it, and I'll do it in your life today. I love it. It's interesting. There was a huge crowd around the Lord. Probably lots of noise. Lots of people saying things. And this one voice stands out. Why did this one voice stand out? Because again, it was a voice of desperation, sincerity, and Son of David. Not many people were declaring him to be the Messiah. And Jesus heard that. And again, when we cry out with that heart, the Lord hears it. Right now, there's a room full of people. And in a room full of people right now, there's probably some hearts that are crying out to the Lord in greater measure than others. Again, we're in different places. We're in different need than in others. But God hears your heart right now. And some of you go, you know what? You have no idea what's going on in my life right now, Pastor Mark. I need God to hear me, and I need him to act now. He sees you. He hears you. Your voice stands out in the crowd. You're not just a number lost in different sections. He sees you. He hears you. Don't stop crying out. I love it. Son of David. If you're a kid and you get in trouble and your mom uses all three names, you're going to have piles of people around you and friends everywhere and you do something wrong and you're Stephen Mark Kirk. Okay, I'm in trouble now. son of David, though, he hears these words, not because Bartimaeus is in trouble or he's in trouble, but it catches his attention. His heart gets his attention. And now the Lord cries out to him. And I have to say this, there's also a great lesson in this as far as being sensitive to the Spirit, gang. Being sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. You've heard me use the term divine appointment. And Jesus was focused. If anybody was focused, it would be the Lord right now. The Bible says, at this point, he was about to go to Jerusalem and die. He set his face like flint. Nothing was going to stop him from getting there. And yet on the way, there's a need. Son of David, son of David. And he stops to meet that need. Guys, we need to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit. And this is where, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we need to realize our lives and our time and our schedules, as Jesus shows here, they, even his own, were not his own. He was following the lead of the Lord. What's my point? Guys, we need to be sensitive to the needs around us. And some of you throughout the week, myself, I find myself doing this. I have an agenda of all these things I've got to get done. You know, we have our to-do list at the beginning of the day or whatever, and we run down that to-do list. Guys, we have to be sensitive to the Spirit, even as Jesus was. His to-do list was to get to Jerusalem and be crucified for the sins of the world. There was much that had to be done. And this one guy, son of David, have mercy, cries out. The Lord stops everything, stands still, and says, bring him to me. This is the Father. We got to deal with this. Now, I grew up in Tennessee, but we lived out west in Santa Fe for several years. And I'll tell you, in Santa Fe, everyone lived their own life. Now, among the church, everybody was close and there was intimate fellowship, but everybody lived their life. If you went to the grocery store, people just didn't come up and start talking to you. You went to the grocery store, you got your Cheerios. You went back home and you had your afternoon breakfast bowl of Cheerios or whatever it is that you like. But the bottom line is, as we found out after being gone for so long, coming back here, everyone is much more social. And I found that I had to readjust my life and my mindset because I would have a list of things I'm going to do. And I found that people that don't even know me in the grocery store would stop me and start conversation. It's great, but it takes adjusting to. You're kind of like going, okay, I've got this. I've got 5 minutes to get to that. And this conversation starts and you got to realize, you know what? Wait a minute. I can either cut this thing off short and say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. Or I can say, God, is this a divine appointment? Have you brought this person in my path to share with them? Guys, we need to be sensitive to that. And remember, it's his schedule. We give it to him. So we'll trust him with the rest of it and say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's where Jesus was. He had a schedule, but his schedule is now stopped as Bartimaeus is there, and the Lord knows that he needs to minister to this guy. Notice this, verse 50. I love it. And throwing aside his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. It gives a picture of slinging this thing. And I think about the crowd. Probably somebody got this thing on their head or something. I don't know what happened. But there were crowds of people there, and he throws his garment aside. This was a bold thing to do, because your garment back in those days, especially for a beggar, that was your, not only your clothing, your outer clothing, it was your blanket at night. It's what you slept with. And there's such a statement here, there's such a heart in Bartimaeus. He's saying, you know what? I believe in you so much, Lord, that I'm throwing everything out of the way to get to you. Nothing's going to stop me, because I believe you're going to take care of my every need, and I know that you're who I need. And guys, what does the Bible say? Laying aside everything that so easily ensnares us? Guys, what a beautiful picture this is of just throwing everything aside and saying, Lord, I need you, and nothing's going to stop me from getting to you. I want you. And again, just to also the faith that he had to realize that if he needed his blanket again, he could find it. I think it was a statement he knew he was going to receive his sight. So what if there's a huge crowd? So what if I drop this? I know I can see now. I'm going to be able to see. I'll find it. And so there's all kinds of statements that it makes about his heart as he throws this cape. But it's even more than that, or throws his outer garment. Notice he leaps up. And the picture there gives a picture of somebody just leaping and springing. You talk about excitement. Now, it doesn't tell us how old this guy was. It doesn't give us an age here. But I mean, obviously he'd been begging for quite some time, refers to him as a man, and now he leaps up and begins to run to the Lord. I can imagine this was quite the scene. Can you imagine running through the crowds, throwing aside the garment, working his way through there, not being able to see, but everybody staring at him knowing Jesus has called him. Here he goes. I love it. So Jesus answered. He makes his way to the Lord, verse 51. And so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, stop there a minute. Do you find that question interesting? What do you want me to do for you? Isn't it obvious what he wants him to do? I'm blind. I want to receive my sight. Why would the Lord even ask him that question? Guys, it's because the Lord wants us to cry out and let our needs be known. The Lord desires a relationship with us. And if he simply did just everything he knew we needed, and we never cried out to him, and we never spent time with him, and we never poured out our heart to him, how would we ever develop a relationship? Husbands, I mean, yeah, it'd be great. You know, your wife does everything all the time for you, and everything's in place, every meal, everything's done, whatever, that kind of thing. But you never talk to her because there's no need to ask her anything. You know, she does everything on her own, right? She's a self-starter, and she just takes care of the whole deal or whatever. Well, yeah, you may have great meals and a really clean home and fresh smelling clothes and all these things, whatever, but you're not going to have any relationship with your wife. Sometimes you need to talk to her, right? Like every day, all the time. What about with the Lord? You think it's any different? And guys, here's the point. I think God allows tough times in our life to force us to talk to Him. Some of you haven't spent time with the Lord in a long time. And He's allowed your world to get really dark. He's allowed you to get really lonely. Whatever the case might be, He's allowed things to happen. It's not that He wants those things to happen, but He's wanting to drive you back to that relationship. Bartimaeus, what do you want? I see that you're responding. That's good. You've cried out. You've come to me when I called, but I want you now to develop a relationship. I want to get to know you, Bartimaeus. I want you to get to know me, and I want to develop that. And so He pulls it out of him and makes him do it. And so this is really a very good question indeed, because He's making him verbalize his needs to the Lord in order to develop this relationship. What is it that you want? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Oh, let me receive my sight. You know, it's interesting. It gives an indication here in the language that this is a re-receiving of his sight, which means what? Well, it would appear that Bartimaeus could see at one point. And then Bartimaeus very possibly lost his eyesight, and now is going to be given his eyesight back. There's an indication there in the language. Now, if that's indeed the case, I find that interesting, and I find that very applicable to us right now. And what do I mean by that? Maybe Bartimaeus didn't know the Lord in a personal way up until this point, but guys, a lot of us did know the Lord, have known the Lord, do know the Lord, had our sight opened in spirit and had a great relationship with the Lord, but we've kind of gone blind as time has gone by. Mark, what do you mean we've gone blind? What I mean by that is we've gone cold in our heart. We're not as sensitive to the Spirit. It's not like it used to be. Guys, listen, I think we need to do what Bartimaeus did. We need to cry out again, brand new, afresh. Lord, have mercy on me. Restore me to that place. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, as David said. I want to see you afresh and anew again. I want to smell the fragrance of Jericho. I want to see the palms blowing through the trees. I want life again. And everything seems so dark right now, Lord. I believe, guys, with all my heart, if you're in that place, you cry out with all your heart today, the Lord will hear you and the Lord will answer you, because that's His desire. And so, you know, I want to receive my sight, He says. And then Jesus said to him, well, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Again, faith in His, while he was blind, but not blind faith. Your faith, Bartimaeus, has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Now, it's interesting here because earlier when it talked about Bartimaeus sitting on the road, it came in the imperfect tense, which means that was his normal spot. He just sat by the road all the time. On a regular basis, Bartimaeus sat by the road doing nothing. He was blind. He didn't have any hope. He just sat by the road, dead. And now we see him come to Jesus, and the same imperfect tense is used, and that is, as he began to follow Jesus, he now started following Jesus on a regular basis. Get this, even as he was sitting doing nothing on a regular basis, his eyes are now open, and he's following Jesus and serving the kingdom on a regular basis. What a beautiful picture of salvation that is. And some of you this morning, you don't know the Lord. You've been just sitting there as a beggar and didn't even realize it. The Lord has passed through your Jericho over and over and over, and you didn't even recognize it or him. And this morning, for the first time, you realize that I need Jesus. Guys, you can cry out to the Lord. All you have to do is say, God, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died for me, and then receive him as Lord and Savior. And you will begin to smell the fragrance of the kingdom and see the beauty of God's glory all around you as you're born again. But here's my heart as well. For those of us in here who know the Lord, and maybe we're not really where we used to be, and it's not the way it used to be, you know, not following the Lord as closely. Guys, again, maybe it's time for us to ask God to renew us in our walk with him. Say, Lord, I used to follow you closer. I used to be really going for it. Lord, but all these things have happened. Guys, really, if we're in a place right now that we really wish we weren't and we wish that our relationship with the Lord was better, it doesn't really matter how we got there at this point, does it? You can come up with all the reasons, but Lord, here's what happened. And here's what it was. And now this and this and that and this and that. And so I got to explain everything to the Lord. And that's fine. You can pour your heart out to the Lord. But once we're done pouring our heart out as to how we got where we are, here's the only thing that matters. Right now, I want to be different. Here's where I am now. I want to be there. I want to be back following you as closely as I can. I want to be intimate with you. I want my spiritual sight reborn again. I want your word to be alive again. I want that vibrancy with you again, Lord. And this is what Bartimaeus is crying out for. And so when I look at this passage, guys, really I see a lot of things about, we talk about the blind faith that Bartimaeus had, but not really blind because it was faith in the Lord. But here's the deal. All we have to do to get with Jesus the way Bartimaeus was follow the same steps. He hasn't changed anything. He hasn't made it any more complicated. It's really very simple. And if you look at it, what is the first thing that Bartimaeus did? And again, these are the things as we leave that we need to do. And that is cry out to the Lord. Sounds simple. Sounds basic. You know what I find interesting in the Word of God is that oftentimes when Jesus would come to his followers, it says he would have passed by. That's always caught my attention. He would have passed by. But then they cried out and he stopped. On the road to Emmaus, it says, and the Lord would have gone on. But they said, no, wait and stay with us. Even walking on the water, this was rather amusing to me. Here's the Lord walking on the water. You would think he's going to come straight to the boat and comfort their hearts because they're freaking out. They think I'm a ghost. Remember they were in the boat going, oh, it's a ghost, right? And I would have thought that too. And it says, and he would have passed by. Now, why did the Lord do that? It wasn't a practical joke. He wasn't being mean to him. Let's see how bad I can freak these guys out. If God wanted to freak us out, he could, okay? You know, watch this, you know, just whatever. You know, suddenly just you could do all kinds of things. You know, your table turns into an elephant. Ah, you know, and then bring it back. Just kidding, you know. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? But it says he would have gone by. What happened? They cried out, Lord. And he stopped. I believe that some of you this morning, the Lord is right here, and he's not going to force you to cry out, but he's waiting on you. Jesus waited till Bartimaeus cried out. Note that. And then he waited and even asked Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do? It wasn't just, Lord, save me, but what do you want me to do? Well, pull me out of the water, you know. I need you, Lord. And so give me more details. So first we've got to cry out. I encourage you to do that. The second thing is what? Throw aside whatever it is that keeps you from getting to the Lord or hinders you. You threw aside his outer garment, you know. Throw it aside. It's not worth it. Whatever it is that's keeping you from having the relationship you want with the Lord, throw it aside. Know that when you get to Jesus, he'll give you everything you need. Bartimaeus didn't care about that anymore. That was his, in one way, how he would stay alive. He said, now I know Jesus will keep me alive. And I think a lot of times we're afraid to come to the Lord because of what we have to give up. Oh, I'll have to give that up. I'll have to quit doing that. Now, how am I going to do that or whatever? He's saying, throw it aside. Come to me because I'll take care of you. What is the third thing? That is, we've got to come to him. I mean, we can hear about Jesus all we want, but unless we respond to his call, it's not going to do us any good, is it? We've got to come to the Lord, cry out to him, but then say, Lord, here I am. I need you right now. And what is the last thing? We've got to believe in him. Notice Jesus said, your faith has made you well. That is, you believe in me. You really believe that I can do this and that I want to and that I will. So believe and receive. Because those are the steps we need to take to get to the Lord this morning. And I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord, to take those steps to receive him the first time today. And if you do know the Lord, to be renewed in your walk with him by following those same steps. Now, I find this interesting. And again, the scriptures amaze me. But you know what? Some of you might be saying, but yeah, Pastor Mark, there's all these walls in my life. I've got these walls that keep me from doing what I know I need to do. There's a wall between me and my husband. There's a wall between me and whatever. There's a wall. There's walls blocking things. Jesus is simply a translation from the Hebrew of Joshua, Yahshua or Joshua. And I find it interesting that thousands of years before this episode, there was another Jesus or Joshua that was riding into Jericho. And it wasn't until they cried out that the walls came tumbling down. And now we see the Jesus of the new generation coming into Jericho again, Joshua, coming to Jericho, and here's a man crying out, and the walls of fear, the walls of blindness, all these things that are holding him back come crashing down. What's my point? Simply in this. It may look impossible to you. You don't understand, Pastor Mark. These are giants in the land. And these walls are too high. You don't get it. No, here's what I do get. Our God is greater than the giants, and our God is larger than the wall and able to break the wall down. And so our job is simply to cry out to him. And guys, that's what I want to give us an opportunity to do this morning. If it's the first time coming to the Lord, or whether it's simply us as a believer saying, it's time to get, Lord, be touched again and renew my sight in you and to see the walls come down. I'm ready for that fresh new walk with you all over again. Let's pray and ask him to do it. Lord, that is my prayer this morning. And I pray, God, for those of us here that know you. And Lord, maybe we need a fresh renewal of our spiritual eyesight. Lord, we've already come to see you and we know you, but we've become hardened or blind over time. And Lord, we need you now to refresh us by your Spirit. God, do it. Today, Lord, we ask you to do it. Touch us, Lord. And help us do even as Bartimaeus did, Lord, in our desperation to cry out, to throw anything aside that's causing us to be slowed down in this process, Lord, to run to you, and Lord, then to believe that you're there to restore us and to do it. So God, right now, if anyone is in there in that place and they know you, Lord, I ask that you would move in that way. God, restore, even as you hear the hearts crying out right now, Lord, send your refreshment, do the work, let the walls of Jericho come down as we cry out once again. But Lord, also I pray if there's any this morning, for the first time, the walls may be coming down. They've never been able to see you at all. They've never smelled the fragrance of the kingdom. They've never seen the beauty of Jericho in their eyes because, Lord, again, they've been blinded. Maybe you've passed by time and time again. Maybe it's been going to church from time to time. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's something on the radio or TV, whatever it is. Lord, I just pray that right now, as you tear the walls down, you let them see and realize they need you. And they begin to cry out. And I know, God, as they cry out, you're going to be saying, come to me. Because you said, all who are weary and heavy laden, let them come to me. And I will in no wise cast them out. And so if that's you this morning, begin to cry out right now to the Lord. Begin to ask him to forgive you of your sin. Believe that he died for you on the cross and receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if you do that, you will be born again. And so, Father, I thank you again for the work you've done this morning in our hearts. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.